Is the mess over for the oil company BP? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. BP's quarterly results in London today were full of oil stains, settlement of the Deepwater Horizon spill in the Gulf, and low crude prices cutting into its profit percentages are part of this. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this from London.
Oh, we see, I suppose, if you're an investor in the company, a long line of woes, one after the other. Losses today, quarterly, standing at $5.82 billion between April and June. But the company has actually been doing its best to make profit in the downstream end of the business. This would be refineries, for example. So the refining end of the business is actually doing fairly well. But BP, we know, faces many challenges. But I suppose the real big problem it's faced over the long term of the last 5 years, that big bill it's going to face after that big explosion and the pollution all caused in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010.
Now, I can't help but notice that BP's share price in London this morning is up more than 2% after awful results like this.
I'm getting the feeling from a lot of people in the City of London's financial district I've spoken to today that in recent weeks we're seeing signs the worst is over for BP. Maybe there's light at the end of a very long tunnel. Okay, the price of oil is down, but BP has done its best to increase production. It's been offsetting some of that lower oil price. And I suppose if you're a selfish investor, BP maintained its dividend, 10 cents for every ordinary share. So there's still money to be made for shareholders in this company, David.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore. Thank you so much.
David, thank you.
Later this morning, the Ford Motor Company releases its results. Soon after, we'll get the latest numbers on the state of home prices in 20 metro areas across the U.S. Homes and cars have a stronger economic link than you might think. Marketplace's Mark Garrison explains.
Investors with bets on America's big three automakers keep their fingers crossed for a strong housing market. That's because home building affects the industry's biggest moneymaker, says auto analyst Marianne Keller.
Pickup trucks are the most critical profit contributor to GM, Ford, and Chrysler.
If builders are busy, that gets them confident enough about the future to upgrade the Silverado, F-150, and Ram trucks that haul lumber and supplies. With home building on a post-crisis upswing, beat-up trucks are getting traded in.
Pickup trucks got older, and now for people who are users and put a lot of wear and tear on the trucks and a lot of mileage on the trucks, there's a replacement cycle.
Housing economist Michael Carliner thinks there's room for growth in home construction.
We're still building at a rate that's well below what the underlying fundamentals would dictate.
He expects a 20% jump in single-family home construction from this year to next. That kind of uptick could put money not just in pockets of construction workers, but ultimately auto workers, too. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
A taped phone call has revealed that Greece's former finance minister this spring had considered a scenario to set up parallel bank accounts for Greek citizens, one with euros, one with the drachma currency. A University of Texas economist who helped is telling Bloomberg News that it was an exercise to study any operational challenges if it ever came to that. Part of this would have involved the government getting into private bank accounts. A bill in Congress would ban discrimination based on gender preference or gender identity. It was introduced late last week, and it comes at a critical moment for LGBT rights advocates who are trying to remind supporters that there are still battles ahead. Some gay rights advocates are worried it might be hard to do fundraising now that a key fight is over. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
A few weeks after the same-sex marriage ruling, the Washington, D.C. group Freedom to Marry made the kind of decision that might make some gay rights advocates lose sleep at night.
We have succeeded, and we can shut down.
That's Evan Wolfson, the group's founder. Freedom to Marry estimates it raised almost $60 million to campaign for same-sex marriage. But now Wolfson says closing shop is the right move.
And there's been some admiration for the idea of an organization being able to say, we're going to shut down. We're not just going to muddle around and try to figure out what else we can do.
But other gay rights groups are sticking around, and they're trying to shift the focus to the battles ahead, like discrimination in the workplace.
In the majority of the country, it's legal to fire a gay person the morning after he gets married and brings a picture of his husband to his desk.
That's Bernard Cherkasov, head of Equality Illinois. Cherkasov's group won its marriage battle 2 years ago when the Illinois State Legislature passed a same-sex marriage bill.
Marriage equality is such a galvanizing issue, and people came to us and said, I want to be part of that movement.
Since then, Cherkasov says, fundraising has gotten tougher.
There's palpable fear across the LGBT movement that people are going to think that somehow the fight is over.
Matt Foreman is with the Evelyn and Walter Haas Jr. Fund. The San Francisco-based foundation is one of the top donors in the LGBT movement.
There's a lot of work going on to try to figure out how to sustain our movement. One is research into what motivates both current and prospective donors.
Pivoting to other battles is key, says Douglas McAdam. He's a professor of sociology at Stanford University and has spent decades studying political and social movements.
The standard thing is for an advocacy organization that achieves its goal to kind of rebrand itself.
Evan Wolfson of Freedom to Marry says gay advocacy groups are now in a good position to do just that.
The marriage conversation has brought many more people into our movement, so there are even more people to reach out to.
And, says Wolfson, to look to for donations. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And there's word from Washington today that the Obama administration wants to make federally subsidized student loans available to prison inmates. Prisoners were able to borrow using Pell Grants until Congress ended the benefit back in 1994. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.